Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we welcome back industry veteran and present CEO of Northwestern, Mike Morgan. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. All right. Welcome to the show. As always, so glad you'd be along. And this hour, we want to revisit one of the biggest stories of the year. There's no question there is a little engine that could in the golf industry. This company is about ready to put the industry on its head. And we introduced you to Mike Morgan a number of weeks ago. He said, hey, you know what? I'd love to come back on. So we tricked another guest previously to come back on. So that was good. That worked out really well that way. You know, Mike had nothing else going on at Northwestern because he's taken over the world, and you know he's taller than Napoleon. But you know he's gonna start out that way and then become Caesar. And I don't know, the house is gonna burn. Somebody's house is gonna burn. I do know this because Mike Morgan joins us on TW Keith Jones. Mike, thanks for making time. I appreciate that you enjoying the humor because. He's laughing now, but people are not going to be laughing later when this comes to fruition. And I'm talking about Northwestern. What? Northwestern, the university? Northwestern golf clubs are back. We saw them at this year's PGA merchandise show. A little taste, apparently, because things have transformed from that point on. But Mike is president and CEO, and nobody tells the story about Northwestern better than him. So I will hand the floor over to this hour's guest to tell this amazing story.
Well, Keith, thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity. It's always exciting to talk about Northwestern golf. And ironically, I was just within the last 20 minutes talking to a member of the Rosasco family who were the founding family of Northwestern Golf back in 1929. So I didn't realize this, but one of the grandsons reached out and said, hey, listen, Leroy Rosasco is still alive. Leroy's 93. So at the time that Northwestern reached its apex and zenith was really 60s, 70s, 80s. And Leroy was running it along with his brother Nat, and they just did a unbelievable job of driving that business. So it's exciting for us to be able to connect potentially with Leroy, and we're going to try to go to Chicago and meet with him. I just got off the phone with the grandson. He said, yeah, we're going to try to set that up and learn a little bit more about what we've inherited from a great family, the Rosasco family. And they had told me a couple of weeks ago that they get goosebumps just thinking about Northwestern coming back. So it's exciting for us, and it's really, really cool that we've got some interest from a lot of interest actually from the Rosasco family who founded it.
Well, isn't it the grandkids that kind of let it die on the vine? Am I get that backstory going for me?
Yeah, well, you know, they kind of got blamed for it because they were the ones that were basically taking it over. But my understanding after having a little bit more conversation with the family is that there was some unfortunate things going on behind the scenes that from an accounting perspective with some people, and it just funds were disappearing. The grandkids were getting blamed, but they took it a little different direction. In fairness, let's also look at the fact that they're focus had changed some or maybe quite a bit from potentially being an entry-level golf company to maybe competing at the higher level with the major players like Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, those types of companies. So they took their eye off the ball a bit, and then having financial issues and supplier problems, the combination created the fall of Northwestern.
Well, you know a lot about this part, but the manufacturing part. I mean, you work for Titleist for decades, and you've got other, I think McGregor's in there. I don't have your full resume in front of me, sir, but but that aside, you know a little bit about the golf club. And to take this on and to bring it, you know, the Phoenix rises again, so to speak, right? I mean, I know that some of the clubs are called Thunderbirds, but there should be a Phoenix in there as well. You know, just in honor of you and the other guys that are integral right now as it relates to Nat and Leroy, because it's my first set of clubs, and I know that we're going to talk about John Daly this hour because there's huge news about him. I know JD had Northwestern Golf Clubs early in his career too, which is crazy because that guy could play with sticks. But you know, it is amazing to talk to people, bring the name up, and they have this memory for whether it was their first set or, you know, because Northwestern knew what their lane was. They stayed in that lane for the longest time. Now you guys know that lane and, you know, have your own lane, but it's starting to get wider shoulders, and, you know, and then the paint's going to be moved over eventually, and the lanes are going to be widened and stuff as you really keep this thing going, because the energy around the company and the way you guys are going about it, and, you know, even with the tariffs and all these other things you hear about in the industry, you guys have, you know, weathered the storm and bringing product to market. So I know next year is going to be the big breakout year for Northwestern, but you've building up a lot of momentum, Mike.
Well, I appreciate those kind words. We're excited. We've got a good design team in place with Jeff Sheets and his group, and we do have some new product that will be debuting at the PGA show in January. Basically, a little spoiler alert: we'll be doing a set of golf clubs that will appeal to the Keith Joneses of the world. I mean, the players that are established that aren't entry level. Thunderbird products were initially designed to be for that entry-level player coming into the game improvement, special features, stronger lofts, easier to get in the air, three woods that were really more like five woods, six woods more like seven woods. It really helps everybody get the ball flight up in the air and carry it further. That's what we wanted to do on the entry-level side. As we have progressed, thankfully, a lot of people have hit our golf clubs, including John Daly, including some tour professionals, who have all come back and said, it's outstanding. You guys have done a great job. And so it validated that we knew Jeff Sheets did a great job, and our manufacturer partner in China, Viraj Tech's done a great job. So producing the product. And so we just felt like, hey, we can make a better players golf club. So we'll have an iron coming out. That'll be called the Pro Series. We'll have a, which is basically 20% smaller, a thinner top line, a more rounded sole, thinner sole, everything that a player would want to look at, a little less offset, something that's designed for what we call the aspiring golfer who looks to get to that next level, which you know, the next level after that's probably a blade. So this is kind of in between the two, but looks really, really good. And we've had some early views of it with John Daly and some other people that said, hey man, that looks fantastic. So it's in the process. We CAD cammed it. It's finished. We're really looking for product to come across as samples within the next 3 to 4 weeks, and we'll have something to show at the PGA show, along with a new driver fairway hybrid that will be adjustable, that will be lie and loft adjustability. And we'll also have the ability to take the shaft in and out and put different shafts in. It's a carbon crown driver that we're really excited about. So, yeah, lots of good stuff coming.
No, that's good, because my friend Aki over at Newton, he says, you need these interchangeable heads. Stop with this these static heads. But I was like, hey, that's all I have right now. I have one. I have one that can change. That's it from that standpoint. but you know, you have a, so are they going to be cast or forged, these upper levels?
Yeah. Yeah, Keith, great question. So the next set, the Pro Series, will be a 431 soft stainless, but we do have two prototype forgings that are being made. We don't know that we're going to bring it to market, but we had the opportunity with Viraj Tech to do these. This was something we corroborated with Virage Tech to form and do the IP on it. So we said, let's try it, and we're going to get some sets in and do some testing with it. And I always said we probably wouldn't compete in the 5% category, which is what I call the best players. But we're getting, I mean, just in the last 4 days, we've had 22 social influencers reach out to us that want to be partnered with us. And they generally like to have a little better player product in their golf bag. So we think that's important as well. So whether we go the Forge route, eventually, I can't answer that one. But I can tell you that the next stage is another soft stainless.
No, that's fine. I just didn't know. But the MSRP, have you guys come up with a number? Or is it still a little early?
Maybe a little early, again, depending on where tariffs, they bounce back and forth. But I know for sure that it will be under 600. I mean, it'll be a 599 at the most. If we can get it a little lower than that at 549 or even lower, we will. We want to be Northwestern true. I mean, Northwestern had very good products. Even though it was entry level, every iron they made back then was forged. Today we talk about castings like that's the way it's always been. That's not the way it's always been. I mean, some of the greatest golf clubs in history, you go back and look at some of the forgings that Northwestern made that are just classic blades. They made them themselves, and even though they sold them at entry level prices, today they're people that collect them and say, man, they're fantastic. And you see it all the time with McGregor and Wilson and everybody. But we didn't know what casting was until about the 1970s. So everything was a forged blade before that. So it's a little bit of a historical return for us to kind of maybe get back into some kind of a forged blade.
Gotcha on that. Yeah, I wasn't speaking of the set price or whatever. I was speaking of the individual clubs. Are you saying when those come out, that's what they would retail at?
That's what they would retail at. We would sell them in sets.
Wait, for the upper?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And we're going to get into the money game a little bit later in the show. We're going to break in a couple minutes. But we'll be talking about because this is the other phenomenal thing that Northwestern is doing. And this is the part where I said they are about ready to put the industry on its head, because the quality of product is way sky high, and the price is closer to the ground. So this $600, $650 for a driver, that's not how Northwestern is going to do their business. Or I'll let the CEO tell you that, president there as well, because that's the game changer. It really is, no pun intended. That, I mean, that's, that's a new slogan for you guys. We're the game changer.
Well, we're blessed to have great partners, as I said, with a design team and a great manufacturer. And I can tell you, and if you listen to just the ads where John Daly's hitting our driver, it's John just turned around and said, "Man, that's great." And I can just tell you, the clubs are made in the same factory as two or three of the major players, major manufacturing companies that are out there, OEMs, and guys, without adding a slider or some kind of waiting ports, I mean, we're probably $6 or $7 difference in price, and our level of players really don't look for any kind of adjustability at the entry level. But we can retail our driver comfortably at $229 to $299 with an upgraded shaft, $229 for our entry level shaft, and do very, very well. And I'm just telling you, we're made in the same factory. It's no criticism of other companies. We're not paying, a lot of money to PGA Tour players, and we're not spending a lot of money on TV. But we are respective of the quality, and that's really where we've maintained that mantra all the way through. Our product has to perform.
With Mike Morgan, Northwestern's Mike Morgan, we'll be back.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
We'll be right back. I told you it was going to be an interesting hour. It just got ramped up because Mike started throwing the numbers around with Mike Wilmergan, president and CEO of Northwestern Golf Club Company. If you missed his initial appearance on this show, well, that was a doozy. But I'll tell you, you're catching up because when this gets on the floor in Orlando, I guarantee it's going to be one of the most talked about products at the show. And oh, by the way, Mike, I don't know if you knew this, the show is oversold. Now, these crazy people that want to get into the golf industry, all the love in the world, but I told Rudy Slecker, who bought Tommy Armour Company, that Barney Adams told me that if you get involved with the golf industry, you're going to play less golf, not more golf. So Mike Morgan might be the only exception to that rule, only because he's been in the industry for so long and been doing it. But now he's president and CEO.
That's not true. I played far less golf, trust me.
There it is. From the great Mike Morgan, who is a longtime industry veteran. So, you know, not to make him sound old or anything, because he's not. He's a spry 35 and a half, so he's doing very well. So, you know.
Thank you.
And he's still long off the tee. But, you know, he claims it's because he's been playing with John Daly, and by the way, he's hitting those Northwestern golf clubs. Now, let's bring in JD now, because I know this negotiation had been going on for a while. John Daly is the everyman when it comes to golf. He's the everyman if you hang out with him, you know, the Diet Cokes and everything else. He's a great, great guy, great person, does a lot for charities and such. But he is really, he's Arkansas through and through. There's no question. That's not a knock on Arkansas in any way. But JD is a true human being, which is great, because, you know, when you're dealing with the golf professionals and with PGA professionals and, you know, guys playing at that level, what you see is not always what you get. So you scratch away pull away the layers of the onion, and it may not be as sweet an onion as you thought it was. But anyway, that aside, JD is what you get. So I want you to tell the story next segment, because I'll give you more time to do it. But John Daly is now officially representing Northwestern Golf, and that is beyond huge. So congratulations on that. And the problem is, John is, as I say, he's a truthsayer. The guy hits clubs, he'll tell you straight to your face whether he likes it or not. And I know you've experienced this firsthand, but I've seen him do it with other people too.
Right. Yeah, I will tell you, having tested our product with a couple of tour pros and some really good amateur players, we were confident that John would like the product. Now, keep in mind, our contract didn't specifically ask John to play Northwestern golf equipment. And the reason for that is quite frankly, John's golf bag is already in a position that it's occupied. So that's already in place, and he just re-signed that deal with Hooters, and so we wouldn't get the golf bag. He doesn't wear headwear. So when we were in the negotiations, I just said, listen, the clubs are really kind of very secondary. John can play anything he wants to play. We're just really looking, you know, for a spokesperson and a partner in our company that would believe in us and understands, you know, what we are about. And John did know that. John had already reached out through a friend of mine and a couple other people I knew and said, hey, man, I love what you're doing. I love Northwestern. I played it when I was a kid. I think it's great. So we kind of knew John had a little bit of a heart for it. One week I reached out to Travis Miller, who he's our marketing partner, but PGA Memes is a company he founded. He's really well known in the industry, but he works with John also through Good Boy Vodka. So those Diet Cokes that you referenced earlier are now replaced by Good Boy Vodkas. So when he opens up the hood on his golf cart, it's not Diet Coke anymore. It's Good Boy Vodka, and he hands it out to everybody. So, you know, he was somebody that Travis knew well. And he said, John will do it. He said, John loves us. And so he had a private conversation with John. He said, yeah, let's just go through my agent, but yes, I'd be excited to do it. So we just need to get to the numbers. And ironically, we talked to him just prior, probably 3 weeks prior to the remake, the Happy Gilmore 2. So when that that came out, that changed a lot. In fact, John told me at the photo shoots that we did a couple of weeks back, he said, I showed up. He said, I had no idea how long I was supposed to even be there because I didn't know how many lines I was going to have. I didn't even realize it was going to be that big a part of the movie. But, you know, he moved the needle after that movie was over. I'll just tell you, I mean, there's unbelievable amount of people that saw that movie and just thought he was fantastic. And the number of requests that the agents were receiving for John's services to come on board for companies was off the charts.
With Mike Morgan of Northwestern, we'll be back for our second half of the show.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga la Gunga.
We're back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with Mike Morgan, Northwestern. Yes, keep that name in mind. He is the president and CEO, but so much more been in the industry for, well, more than three decades, we'll just say that. And he started when he was in sixth grade. So there you go. You do the math, and he's good with that, you know. Plays the handicap. There you go, that way. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank goodness we became fast friends. So there you go. But yes. but this John Daly deal is a big deal. Now, you mentioned not playing the clubs or doesn't have to. You know, we know what it's like, or we here at the show know what it's like, because guys get paid for what's in their bag and they have the different deals and stuff. And John is really kind of a marketing magnet. Everybody wants to be around John. Everybody wants to hang with John. And, you know, thus John gets paid. So, you know, by sponsors and stuff. So it makes a lot of sense. And even Hooters recognize that, right? So a long time. But he's a very loyal guy, too. That's the other thing about John. If you do right by him, he will do right by you. And he's still, in my estimation, and you I'll defer to you on this, Mike, he's a handshake kind of guy. Yes, you got to put everything in writing these days because of all the shadiness going on. But J.D.'s word is pretty much the word. So
It is. I'm just going to tell you, he's exactly what you think he is. I had met him actually prior to the 91 PGA here in Indianapolis. I'd met him at a qualifying school when I was representing Titleist on a Q school deal where I was just working with the players. But John was as humble then as he is now, and he's just a wonderful person to work with. And the only reason we have to put it in writing and do all of that and make sure it's all buttoned up is you know, the agents get their cut and they push that all through. So
there it is.
I do it, but we got to go through the agents. So, but it is, you're right, Keith. It is John would do it on a handshake. That's how great a guy he is.
So did you tell him, you must have told him, I don't know then, but at some point about the crooked stick story, or you being at the 1991 PGA.
Yeah, I'll tell you very quickly a funny story with that. So I met him at Q School Qualifier in the fall of 1990. And so when I saw John a couple of weeks ago, I did bring it up, and I said, John, I met you in the fall of 1990, and I said, it was a Q School qualifier. And he goes, I remember. He goes, at golf club of, I said, yeah, that's it. And he goes, yeah. He said, you know, I like that golf course. That was a fun place to play. And I said, if you remember right, you were a Max Fly player. I was the Titleist guy. He said, oh, that's right. He said, I was playing Max Fly. And I said, but here's fast forward to August of 91, and you had qualified for the tour, and you were out on the tour. You weren't playing in a lot of events, but you were getting some momentum. And you were the ninth alternate to get into the PGA, which in itself was pretty amazing that eight people would pass to get into a major championship. But, you know, that's what happened. And I said it was so funny because I was up in the locker room working, putting golf balls in lockers and working with some of the players. And somebody from Crooked Stick, who I knew, came up and said, hey, does anybody in this locker room know John Daly? I said, I do. And I've met John Daly. And they said, would you come down and help us? Because we don't want to be embarrassed when John drives up, because we don't know who he is and we want to greet him personally. And I said, yes, I'll come down. So I stood in basically the circle of Crooked Sticks front there, the driveway that's circular, and I saw John drive in a probably a four-year-old car with a little smoke coming out of the back of it. And he pulled around the circle and stopped, and I said, that's John Daly right there. John got out. Then we wore white jackets with Titleist. They still do when they're working tour events. And he said, hey, Mr. Titleist. And I said, John, how are you? He wouldn't know me from anybody other than that, and just white jacket stood out. But I was the one that introduced Crooked Stick to who John Daly was, and John got a kick out of that.
That's great. We're talking to Mike Morgan now, the president and CEO of Northwestern. Take that, Wally Uline. I should have paused for dramatic, the exact reaction. That's it. Now, Wally, we know Wally's a great guy. I will say, I only thought they wore those white jackets at the PGA Merchandise Show. I didn't realize it was out on tour. But we also discovered in this show who puts golf balls in the lockers, because we never have known over the years. I remember talking to Spike McRory, who was a great guy and ended up making the tour. And I said, Spike, well, you know, what's the big difference between, you know, playing on the minis, and obviously the money's going to be different. But he said, Keith, people keep giving me stuff. It's like I open my locker and there's, you know, there's shirts and balls and there, you know, on and on and on. And so we know one of the ball fairies is our guest this hour, one Mike Morgan. So, you know, if you find a Titleist in your locker, in the past, you know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, in the past, Mike may have been the person to put it there. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of those white coats walking around in Orlando. Yeah. And you'll have a great week. I mean, I think you were there last year. I didn't see you and didn't get a chance to meet you. But, you know, there's so many of those guys that, you know, you've obviously known. Our industry's changed quite a bit, especially over the last handful of years. But there's probably still a lot of guys.
I'll say one thing. I had not been to the show in about maybe 6 years. And it's interesting how that show has evolved. And it was starting to evolve the last year I was with Titleist. And that's that it on the hard goods side, not the soft goods, but the hard goods side, it's more of a marketing show. It's less of a retail show where you're selling and showing product, but you're not really meeting with key vendors to sell product. All of that's done either before or after, and it's less of a push to get my orders in at the show for the new product. You're going to get the opportunity. It's all built into, hey, we'll meet after the show. But honest to goodness, I was kind of shocked how it's become more of a marketing show. And internationally, I mean, we had 13 different countries come up to us in the booth. So we've never seen this high a product, a high quality of product for the price point that you're at, and want to carry the Northwestern line as a distributor in other countries. And we still get that, and we're blessed for that. We won't be able to do that for another year or so. But I think the show's evolved on the hard goods side to where it's really different. It's not big retail timing. It's more of marketing and showing the product and meeting with media people and international people. It's really different.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I've been covering that show for at least 25 years, more than that, I think. I was talking to my friend Sherry Major. She started a little bit before me. She's my Reed exhibition insider, and we always chuckle about certain things, the way it has evolved into so many levels. And that's one of what you said right there is one of the reasons I'm just astounded and amazed that the show is oversold. There are going to be vendors in the hallways at the convention center, and I'm thinking because there is that intrigue and that want, you know, the golf lust, so to speak. You know, you want to be involved in the golf industry, which is fantastic. But to your point, it is much more of a smoke and mirrors presentation marketing kind of show. I mean, we go because we get to see so many of our longtime friends, and then we meet new ones, and I get to see people. We get to see people that have been on the show we've never met face to face, and things like that. So it's, you know, it's, but again, that makes it more of like from our standpoint, more of a PR type of trip than it does, you know, you don't get any business done anymore. I was blown away, you know, by all these the influencers that got in the doors
amazing.
Well, I'm talking to some of the manufacturers and some of the guys that I know, and they speak rather frankly to me, and I appreciate that. I think we've earned it over the years. They know where I stand on things, and I said, "Well, how's your show going?" "It's going pretty good, except I keep having these influencers come up to me and they want to do interviews." And I said, "Well, okay, interviews are good." And like, no, then they want like $300 after we do it. I'm like, shoot, I'm one of the original. I'm an OG. I'm one of the original influencers, right, in the golf industry. And had I known that's the way you should do it, oh man, I would be a different kind of millionaire now. So
absolutely.
But to your point, it's just, you know, everybody's there for their own reasons and such. But from Northwestern standpoint, what size booth are you looking at? Have you signed for?
Well, last year we were in a 900 square foot booth. We'll be close to that. We told Reed a few weeks back. We said, we're not sure we need all of that. If you want to take a little bit of that space. So we haven't finalized it yet, but we'll be somewhere between 600 to 900 square feet. I'm guessing, assuming that they move a little bit of that space, because I know they said they had a lot of people waiting. So we may not need it all. And quite frankly, that's because the line, we're not going to have John in the booth. We're going to have John off site. So if we're not going to put John in the booth, we just feel like we don't need quite as much space. So, but we'll still be in the Hall of Fame, we call it, which is basically right there close to Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, everybody within, you know, a few feet of everybody.
Well, you work for some of those people, so you deserve to be right in there. Right, so there you go. That's credibility. That's street. Mike Morgan has street cred, people. Let me tell you, I don't usually say street cred on the show, but we have now. So there you go. But you know, being president and CEO of a company, you know, get you some of that. But long time industry professional from that standpoint, and it's nice for you to give back to the others in the industry. So kudos to you on that one. From that standpoint, also cuts his cost a little bit. Shh, don't tell. From that standpoint, that's the one thing I was here. Like, oh my God, they charge on this. And I'm like, I have nothing to do with that. Mark Simon's coming on the show, the VP, the man behind the curtain, in the next few weeks. I got to check it, whether it's December or January, but before the show, before the PGA show, for this show. Yeah, he has. And he actually enjoys it, Mike. I don't know why my guests want to keep coming back. I do not understand that. I do not understand. We are so tough on them and everything else from that standpoint. I should ask you this off air, but I'm going to ask you it on air. When I was at the show this year, I met Randy Campbell. Is Randy still involved with the company?
Randy is. Randy is just a very good friend who's one of the great fitters. He's been in the Indianapolis area for a very, very long time. He's kind of definitely a legend in the golf industry. And I had – and Randy's – gosh, I mean, he's my age. He's a seasoned veteran. So when I first put this idea together and my partner and I, Joe Altamonte, were talking about it, I wanted to bounce it off a few people, including Carl Rose Jr. in Detroit and some industry veterans. And I picked Randy Campbell because he had a long history in the golf industry. And so he just was a confidant, and he really loved it. And he said, man, I'd like to come down to the show and just kind of help you, whatever I can do to help. And I said, that'd be great. Just having you down there, you know the golf industry well, and that would be great. He's not part of the company, but he'd like to be. Randy will be doing custom work for us. We'll be building a custom shop within our facility. Randy will do. He's a great club maker, and I he can do about anything. I think he can do. So he will be our club maker as far as custom is concerned. And that will happen within the next, certainly within the next 6 months. I most certainly think that will be probably the time frame.
Awesome. And who wouldn't want to be involved with your company? Come on, Mike. I mean, this is, I'm telling you, this is the big story. I'm glad we were just a touch involved with this. You know, the great story of 2025 and then in 2026, the doors are going to blow open. Mark my words, people. This is something. It's not even the inside information I have. I just know how this is going right now, and it is phenomenal. And I'm just so happy that JD is, you're welcome. So glad that JD sees it as well. So from that standpoint, as far as Randy goes, I met him at the show, and I thought he was the owner. We talked. He was very knowledgeable. Oh my God, I could tell he's a master club maker, because he'd sit there and tell you stuff and everything else. And then I called to do an interview with him. He says, "Oh no, I'm not the owner. Let me put you in touch with Mike Morgan." Mike Morgan, who's that?
Well, it was ironic.
Mike Morgan of Titleist. Oh yes, yeah, he's left his mark over there with the white coats. There, that was it. So there you go.
Yeah,
so,
that's funny. So ironically, I had stopped by to see Randy for something on the way back to my office in the evening, and he says, "There's a guy I met at the show named Keith Jones. He called, wants to do a radio interview." And I told him, "I'm not the guy. You're the guy." I said, "Oh, okay, well." I'll wait to hear from Keith. He's like, "Gave me your number." So I thought that was interesting. Randy said, "I apologize. I didn't mean to present myself as someone that was important." I said, "You are important. You are so impressive." That's the impression that Keith took.
That's it.
You're the key guy.
That's right. And I made the phone call personally because I wanted to make sure there was indeed a real Mike Morgan, but also Mike picked up. So that was like, hey, there we go. And then you see what? See, sometimes a squirrel finds a nut. You see this? This is what happens. You trip over yourself and you fall into something really good. This is a phenomenal story, and obviously we're following it as it evolves, and we'll tell you more about the clubs and everything else as we go. But before we get into the design and stuff, which we won't do this time, go around, we'll bring you back on probably either a little before the merchandise show or a little after the merchandise show, just to talk, get your thoughts on what you saw and stuff. So maybe a little after the merchandise show. But it's the MSRP that is really the thing that I think is, well, again, you're going you used to get Christmas cards from people. Now you're going to get some hate mail from the industry because you're upsetting the apple cart, Mike. Mike, come on, you've been in this industry for 3.5 decades. Why do you have to push the apple cart over now? Why? And you know, people want to pay $650 for a driver. They don't want to pay $250. What are you doing? This is the industry talking, not me, because I've been fortunate. Mike doesn't charge me $650, so I'm good that way. But that is so ridiculous. I don't care what the late great Ely Calway told me or not. You know that he started it, and only it's gone worse from there. So kudos on you for changing the pricing, and it's going to really irritate a lot of people.
Well, let me say real quickly, thank you for that. In terms of where we're headed in our current pricing and where we plan to stay, but you know, I lived. And I told this to Titleist executives. I said, "You live in a bubble. I lived in a bubble because we didn't even discuss what else could be sold beyond what we sold." I will tell you real quickly. At Crooked Stick, a good friend with Tony Pancake, who's one of the great golf professionals, and just recently honored as PGA Pro of the Year nationally, one of the great people in the world. And I showed Tony the line because I just got to see it, Mike. And I showed it to him. And this is last fall with more prototypes. And I said, "It's not for your shop, Tony. It's for, you know, retailers and entry level golfers." And he just said, "Mike, I can sell it." And I said, "Well, Tony, I realize you want to be a good friend and you want to be nice and you want to put a little product in, but you don't need to do that." Because I sold 18 box sets last year of golf clubs.
With Mike Morgan of Northwestern Golf, we'll be back to wrap up the show. We're back, and with Northwestern CEO and President Mike Morgan, it's interesting how things have progressed at Northwestern.
A lot of the men, their wives want to get in the game. They don't want to spend $3,000. Their kids want to get in the game. They don't want them to get a set of golf clubs for $3,000 and then hate the game. So I'm just telling you, we can sell this product. And I tell you that because living in the bubble, I never discussed that. So I never even realized that almost everyone can sell this product. It doesn't have to be just that a private club can do this. A private club does have the market for this as well. But it was not something that I ever even thought was possible because I didn't live outside the bubble. Getting outside of it and looking at the opportunity to build a company and bring it back, it was all about, it was the price point. It, coming out of COVID, top golf players coming into the game, simulator players coming into the game. We don't want to lose those players because they come out and they go, I want to try it, and it's just too expensive, and a country club membership's too expensive, and greens fees are too expensive. So we just say, hey, listen, let's build a really quality set of golf clubs, put it at a really, really fair price, and get people into the game of golf. And that's the bubble for me was, you know, great, but I needed to get into another world, and this is it.
So did Joe come to you with this? Where did this, like, ridiculous notion come from that you guys are going to sell these lower, much lower price? I don't get it. Why wouldn't everybody gets into the golf industry so they can sell $650 drivers? I'm telling you, and you see it across right. the board. And I got, I don't know which catalog I got recently, but I got a catalog and I go through there and I'm just looking at the new stuff. I mean, even since we're talking about Callaway, they came out with the Elite, right? Ely,
right?
E-L-Y-T-E, the Elite, where it says you can get 8+ yards. Eight.
Right.
And they want you to buy a new driver. 8 yards. Hit your irons better, okay, folks?
So walking down the aisle, main aisle at the show, I won't mention the name of the company.
Oh, come on. We name drop on this show, Mike Morgan, Northwestern's president and CEO. We do.
Looking at the wall of information as I was walking along their large booth, and I said, man, that one is 8 yards. So they're 8 yards longer this year. Last year, they were 7 yards longer. The year before that, they were 9 yards. And the year before that, they were 7. And the year before that, they were 6. And I was just adding it up in my mind. I'm like, you know, my goodness. I said, now what's going to happen in the game of golf is you're really only going to need about 4 clubs, a driver, maybe a hybrid, and then maybe a wedge and a putter. I mean, that's basically the game because you're hitting it so far. If you follow all of the marketing nonsense of 8 yards here, 9 yards there, 10 yards there, it's not possible. And you know, it's unfortunate, but that is the marketing of golf clubs. And we want to do it. We want to do it where we have real distance gains with a super lightweight shaft. We're going to be bringing out in January. We partnered with a major company. It's only 35 grams. It's a mathematical fact that you're going to swing it faster because it's lighter. Will it work for you? I don't know. We've tested 35 players and it's worked for every one of them so far, whether they're 116 mile an hour club head speed or 65 miles an hour. So will it work for you? I don't know. But I can tell you that the least distance we've seen with that is 17 yards. So it's just the lightweightness of it. You can move it quicker. I will stand behind that and say, we can hit it further. People want to hit it further. We will market it as being longer, but it's a factual situation. We can't do that every year, but it's our niche, and we want to go with it. People want to hit it longer, and with this partnership, we believe that's going to happen.
Well, that's what happens. It's this R&D doesn't exist much anymore, right? Research and development doesn't exist. Too much money goes into that. And oh, by the way, we got this marketing budget over here. You guys need to talk about it as if we did develop something because we have to sell the new clubs to keep the lights on it. And it's gotten really bad because these companies become public. And when you take it public, and there's nothing wrong with that, but then you have management issues and you have other things that you have to deal with. More so,
chasing the dollar. I mean, you just are. And it's a quarterly report, and you've got to hit that number. You don't want to have that phone call with Wall Street and say, well, we're going to miss it by, you know, 2%. You don't want to have that phone call. So you've got to drive it, and it's driven by marketing. It's good product. Don't get me wrong. It's really, really good product. Everybody makes really good product. But there isn't that much difference between where we are and where they are, just so you understand.
No, I totally understand. So we're talking to Mike Morgan, President and CEO of Northwestern. It won't be the last time he comes on the show, because this is an evolving story, and we love those kind of things. But we also like the little engine that could. He could have named his company anything. He went with Northwestern. I'll call him out off the air. But you know, it's like you could have called it anything and said, hey, whatever. But we're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game. Practice. Take your game to the next level. And we will talk to you next week. Take care.